accommodate your business need. That's black.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Do You Forgive Those Who Hurt You?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, happy Friendship Sunday. What do you say back to me with that one, right? And also to you. Very good, Vivian. Very Lutheran of you. I'd like to talk with you today about one of the most important things for friends, for making friends, for keeping friends, for being a friend, really the most essential, key, and powerful thing for us, namely forgiveness. Do you forgive those who sin against you? Have you forgiven those who have hurt you in your life and abused you? You know, sometimes that's really hard. Sometimes the wounds are small and trivial. Sometimes they cut deep. And it's a long-standing, deep, abiding, abusive hurt that you've received. Do you forgive those who have even abused you and cut you deeply? Well, let's talk today about forgiveness, the power of it, how key it is for us, and what the Lord has to say to us about that. What does He expect from us, and what does He tell us in His Word, the Bible, for our great help and encouragement in Christ, and for our good relationships here with each other, and also especially before God and with the Lord? What does He say to us about forgiveness and forgiving each other? Well, first of all, as we think about that, that's certainly a topic that applies to all of us, doesn't it? Why? Because we all in this world get hurt. We hurt and we hurt other people. They hurt us. This world is full of hurt that needs forgiveness. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? Now, why do we hurt each other? Well, Jesus tells us about the character of the human heart here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. This is what comes out of the heart, He says. He says, for out of the heart, the human heart, that is, come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. So in a Christian, do you have an evil heart? Well, you actually have a good heart given to you by God in baptism when you were born again through faith in Jesus Christ. You have a new nature. You have a good heart that does good things and truly does love. But we all have this old, sinful, evil side of ourselves, the old man, the old heart in us, even as Christians. And so, because we have a sin nature that still hangs around, it's not in charge, but it hangs around, it causes trouble. And we also, even indeed, hurt each other at times, don't we? And if we do that, how much more unbelievers who only have the old evil hearts, they don't have the born-again new heart yet, and so they're inevitably going to hurt each other and hurt us. And so sometimes we get hurt by our enemies, we all get that. Sometimes by those who are just our co-workers, strangers, people around us, people on the road cutting us off. And then there are also when the situation when we get hurt by those who love us and we're very close to. And those can hurt the most, those of our family. And so what are we going to do with that? Are you going to let the person go free and forgive? Or are you going to seek revenge and hurt back? Which one do we choose? Well, what is our first knee-jerk reaction, would you say, when people hurt you? What's the first thing you do? Our first knee-jerk reaction is all of us, pretty much, is to hurt back. That's the first thing that pops up in our mind. Whenever I preach on this in the past, I always remember that story of that trucker that went to the diner. He stopped on his journey and ate, you know, had a little hamburger at the truck stop, and in come these three guys in a rough biker gang, and they park outside and come in, and they see the trucker there, and they think, let's have a little fun with this guy and rough him up. So they stride up to his table, and one grabs his hamburger and starts to eat it right in front of him, smirking. The other one grabs his drink and drinks it in front of him, challenging him with his eyes, and the other grabs his his French fries and starts eating it. Well, what does this guy do? How does the trucker respond? Does he seek revenge or does he forgive? Well, the answer is he does nothing. He just gets up quietly, pays his bill, walks outside. Well, the biker gang sit down at his table and enjoy the rest of his meal and say to the waitress, "Huh, he wasn't much of a man, was he? What a coward." To which the waitress answers, "Yeah, and look outside, he wasn't much of a truck driver either. Look, he just drove over 3 motorcycles. The first knee-jerk reaction for all of us is to seek revenge, to hurt back. And you know, we always seem to up the ante, don't we? They just ate his hamburger, he destroys their motorcycles. That's what happens in the world. We go after it. And why do we go after hurting other people when we get hurt? Why is that what we do? Well, I believe it's because God has put his law, written it upon our hearts, his justice. We all have a sense of justice within us, don't we? And this is the justice of God's law, according to the Old Testament, which is written in everybody. Luke 24, God says, Leviticus 24, verse 17, "He who kills a man shall be put to death. When a man causes a disfigurement in his neighbor, as is done, it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as is disfigured a man, he shall be disfigured." So when someone hurts us, the scales of justice have tipped. They've hurt us. We want to even the scales, settle the score, even it, get back and hurt back and make justice aright. Trouble is, when we do that, we usually tip it the other way and destroy their motorcycles when they just ate our hamburger. And so inside every human being, there's this knee-jerk reaction. Justice must be served. I'm coming back to get you. You know, apes and donkeys and chickens don't do this. They don't have that in them. Humans do. It's the law of God. But how does that work for us, though, when we hurt people who hurt us? Does that really work out well, do you think? When we get back, you know, the world says revenge is sweet. They think it'll work out well. But when we harbor anger, when we hold a grudge, when we seek revenge and to avenge ourselves, to settle the score and hurt back, man, it just doesn't work out after all, does it? It always seems to end, and does, in death. Say the word death. Death. It ends in death. Death of the relationship, because you're hurting back, maybe in the death of a person. More hatred, at least, and the death of also you who seek revenge. Let me share with you a special proverb. Ready? Before seeking revenge, first start by digging 2 graves. Now, where did I get that proverb? Was it in the Bible? No, it was in a James Bond movie, where I get a lot of my wisdom. But even so, it's a scriptural principle. When you hurt somebody and seek revenge, it's going to kill you and not just the other person. Remember that story in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 2. David's men and Saul's men are fighting, and they fight at this pool. And there's this battle between Abner, if you will, and Joab. And one of David's relatives, Asahel, pursued Abner. And as he went, he turned neither to the right nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked around behind him and said, "Is it you, Asahel?" And he answered, "It is I." Abner said to him, "Turn aside from your right hand or to your left and seize one of the young men and take his spoil." But Asahel would not turn back from following him. Abner said again to him, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I smite you to the ground? How then could I look upon the face of your brother Joab if I kill you?" But Asahel refused to turn aside, and therefore Abner smote him in the belly with the butt of his spear, so that the spear came out his back, and he fell there and died where he was. So Joab, Asahel's brother, pursues Abner, but he can't catch him, and he escapes. And they go for years without seeing each other's faces. Later on, Abner wants to come and bring Saul's forces over to David and make one kingdom. David says, "Good, go in peace, Abner." But Joab, hearing of that, says, "Where is Abner?" And he follows him, and he says, "Abner, I have a word from you from the king. I have a very special private word for you." They turn aside, and he takes his sword from under his cloak and runs it through Abner and kills him. So he sought revenge, right? He avenged his brother's death. Did that go well for Joab? what happens in the end. David says, I and my kingdom are forever guiltless before the Lord for the blood of Abner. May it fall upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house. And you know that in the end, Joab, for seeking revenge, was clinging to the altar of God when Solomon became king, and in comes Benaiah and slays him without mercy. His justice, the avenging, returned upon his own head. He had no mercy because he showed no mercy. What happens when we seek revenge, friends? It ends in death. Asahel, dead. Abner, dead. Joab, dead. If you seek revenge, it's going to end in your death too. God says, don't go that route. It's a bitter poison. It's a bitter root, a deadly poison. Not good. So what does God want us to do when someone hurts you? When you feel that cut and you want to seek revenge, God says, I don't want you to seek the revenge. Don't avenge yourself. Don't hold the grudge in your heart. Don't keep anger. Don't hurt back. But instead, let the person go. Forgive. Let the person go free. Can you do that? Is that what Jesus actually tells us to do? Let's take a look here at Matthew 5. Matthew 5 over here, verse 38. Jesus says this. He says, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say to you, don't resist one who's evil. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So should you strike back? No. We should skip Vivian's and also with you in this case. Don't be a Lutheran here in that sense. Don't strike back. That doesn't mean, by the way, that you can't defend yourself, okay? If someone comes and attacks you, you can defend yourself. If someone is being wounded by an abuser, you can go help defend them. You can seek justice that way, but don't avenge yourself. Don't seek revenge. Leave that to the Lord. For it's written, don't return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, says St. Peter. But on the contrary, bless. To this you've been called that you may obtain a blessing. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, God says. In other words, it's not in your job description. God says, justice, vengeance, avenging, that's my job. Yours. Forgive. Let them go free. What's it mean to forgive in the Bible, by the way? There's two words used in the New Testament. Apaluo, which means to loose the person, to unbind the person, to release them, let them go free, set them at liberty. And aphiemi, which means to let the person go from your power. To let the person go free, let them escape. In other words, when someone hurts you, okay, and the justice is out of balance, they are in debt to you. Forgiving them is not saying, hey, it was nothing, don't worry about it, it meant nothing, it's trivial. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is saying, yes, you hurt me. Yes, the balances are out of sorts, that you are in debt to me. I should be able to hurt you back, but for the sake of grace, for the sake of God, for the sake of his command and for love, I let you go. I cancel the debt. I let you go free of my own power. I just cancel it, go and be free. That's what it is to forgive. Let the person escape, says God. And why do you want to let them escape? Not only does vengeance belong to God, but God wants you free. Say the word free.
Free.
Don't you want to be free? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, says Paul, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. What happens if you don't forgive is a root of bitterness springs up in your heart. I found this outside today. Do you like this root of bitterness? Do you want that in your heart? A poisonous, bitter root starting to grow? That's what happens when you hold anger and bitterness in your heart. And what happens if you continue to hold on to this? Where did it go? There it is. It grows into a deeper root of bitterness and springs up and causes even more trouble. Is this what you want your heart to look like? God says, let this go. Let me do the avenging. As for you, you be free. Put these bitter roots away and instead have freedom and let your heart just spring up into the grace that I have for you in Christ, a free and a colorful joyful heart. That's what it's going to do for you when you forgive. You yourself are going to be free. Who does God want you to forgive? Well, Mark chapter 11, Jesus says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, that your Father also may forgive you your trespasses. So how many people are we supposed to forgive again? If you have anything against anyone. Anyone means you forgive everybody. Anything means you forgive everything. So always forgive. If there's justice, there will be justice. Let God do it, though. As for you, you set the person free. How often should you forgive, by the way? Peter says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And as many as seven times. Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven. What's that equal, all you math majors? 490. So on the 491st time, go after him and kill him. Is that what Jesus is saying? No, this is a Hebrew expression saying seven sevens, 70 sevens means always, forever, continually forgive the person. But that is if the person repents, Jesus says there. Should you also forgive those who don't repent? Yes. Why? Because God wants you free. Leave the vengeance to me, God says. You set the person free. And who do we have as the best example of that in the Bible? What's the answer? Jesus Christ. Look at the cross. He shows you there. Jesus is the only perfect man. He's the only one ever falsely, unjustly accused. The murderous, evil murderers, the worst in history, came against him to slay the only righteous Son of God. Jesus on the cross, before, and even apart from them even asking for forgiveness, they still in their murderous deeds, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Example to us all, even if they're murdering you for unjust causes, they're the worst wicked sinners in history. Follow the example of Christ. Let them go, and you be free. And who knows, maybe perhaps God will even save their souls and bring them to forgiveness too. But either way, you're free. So forgive, Jesus says, everyone, everything, all the time, and every day. Do you do that? Is there any bitter root on your heart today? Something springing up, holding a grudge? Well, it's a bitter and a poisonous root. Let it go, God says. Let them go free. Forgive them, that you be free. So why does God want us to forgive? Well, let me give you a couple here. Three, actually. Number one, God wants you to forgive because he loves healed relationships. And the only thing that'll ever heal a relationship that has hurt and sin in it is forgiveness. Let me take, for example, this I made some years ago. You got a husband here and a wife, okay? They're supposed to be like this, right? Together, in love. What happens if you sin against each other and you hurt each other? It creates a division. You start to turn your faces away from each other. Bitterness, that bitter root, starts to grow up in their hearts. So the husband's bitter. This happened for Beth and me when we were first married. We loved each other, but we had some bitter words. A bitter heart all of a sudden led to some sideways jabs. That hurt over here and led to some other sideways jabs, which creates more division, doesn't it? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you don't forgive someone, bitterness, that root grows in you and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then out of your mouth comes more bitterness, and all of a sudden you get more and more apart. This is the devil's work, by the way. He wants to divide and conquer, really to divide and to kill. So how do you bring these two people together back together again? Can we go on a cruise? Would that work? How about some flowers? How about a date? Is that going to fix all the bitterness and hurt? None of those has the power to do it. Only one thing. What is it?
Forgiveness.
I confess my sins to you, Beth. I confess my sins to you, Greg. I forgive you, Beth. I forgive you, Greg. And that brings us back together again. And frankly, we've been doing that every night before we go to bed for years. And we've taught our children to do the same. If you do that, what's in your heart in the morning? You have a clean slate, a perfect environment for love to grow up, and all of a sudden the words that come out are no longer bitter because there's no bitterness left. Forgiveness took care of that. All of a sudden what's coming out is encouragements, good cheer, helping each other. I love you. and then it makes a better and better relationship. I want to challenge you right now. Can you do that with your spouse or with your children? Forgive them every night before you go to bed? If you don't do that, what's going to happen is this bitter root is going to spring into all kinds of trouble in all your relationships. It can destroy a marriage. It can destroy a family. It can destroy friendships. Every night, cleanse it. Weed the garden and let there be abundantly beautiful fruit. And frankly, when you forgive each other and it comes back together, it's better than it was before it was ever broken. It's as if you have Gorilla epoxy, sets in 5 minutes, clear, two-component epoxy on that wound, and before you know it, it's better than it ever was with just the wood. It is so strong, nothing can break it apart because there's grace extending, and it's forgiven, and then the couple comes together in a closer, more intimate way than they ever even had in the first place. So what are you going to do every night? Forgive each other and forgive any who've sinned against you. For the healing of relationships, God says. Secondly, God says, forgive at least for this, that you be free. You know, in some relationships, you might forgive somebody, but they don't want your forgiveness. They're like, I did nothing wrong, though I abused you. Well, the relationship might not be totally healed because it takes two to tango. They may indeed not want your forgiveness, but if you forgive, at least you yourself get free. If you don't forgive, this is the first thing that grows. What's it become? This. What does it then become after that? This gets even worse. And what becomes after that? Pretty soon you have a root of bitterness. Ugh, terrible. It's bleeding poison into your life. What if you have a girl whose father abused her in the sense that he said, you're trash, you're fat, you're ugly. And that girl grows up and feels of no worth, her father totally estranged, and she doesn't let go but holds that hurt, that anger, that grudge, that revenge in her heart. What happens? Well, eventually it becomes this and it bleeds into every other relationship and destroys her. Why would you be destroyed? Rather, let it go, give it away, and you yourself, God says, you be free. The devil uses bitterness as a port, if you will, to land his fleet, his troops on the beach of your life. And Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, you will be handed over to the tormentors. The demons can come in and wreak havoc in your life. For your own freedom, set the other person free, that you be free and healed yourself indeed. And then thirdly, God says, forgive also for our relationship. Because Jesus says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. It's so important to him. But if you forgive them, he also is going to forgive you. So God says, I also want us to have a great and joyful relationship. I can't be going forgiving your sins if you're holding grudges against other people. No, forgive them that we can have a free and joyful relationship, and it's going to be free and joyful indeed. This is what I do. I forgive people. And so forgive for your relationship with God. Now let me just ask this, though. How do you do it, though, when it's hard? You know, when someone's cut you deeply, maybe over a long period of your life, how do you forgive? Remember, it's not saying that there's no justice. You let the person go free. It doesn't mean they're free with God. You leave that to God, but you just say, the account, I'll settle with you right now. I let you go that I can be free. And here's, and that we might be healed. And here's the way you do it. Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath, etc., be put away from you, and forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Paul says the same thing in Colossians 3. He says, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So how do you forgive when it's really hard? Simply ask yourself this. How has this person hurt me? And how did I, in the same way, hurt Christ? And how did he first forgive me? You know, Jesus came to forgive us when we were sinners, when we were his enemies, before we ever asked for forgiveness. And look at how he healed people and forgave them in his life. The paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven you. to the sinful woman weeping at Jesus' feet with her tears. In Luke 7, he says, "Your sins, O daughter, are forgiven you. Go and don't sin again. Go in peace." To the adulterous woman, he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." And at the cross, "Father, even forgive these murderers, for they don't know what they're doing." Ask, "How has God forgiven me? Let me then forgive them in the same way." So say someone hurts you with their words. "Oh, those hurt and cut so deeply, Lord. But how have my words cut you deeply, Lord, and yet you forgave me? Oh, God, joyfully let me now give the same to this person as you first did to me. They hurt me with their actions. They struck me with their fist or betrayed me. Oh, but how did I betray you, God? How did I strike you with my sins, and yet you forgave me freely before I asked? Let me set them free." So as the Lord first forgave you, always remember that, then extend it out to them how you might forgive them. And he did it while you're his enemies to make you his friends. Do it for them, that perhaps maybe also they might become your friends. But here is the bottom line. Jesus says, "You received freely. Therefore, give freely." No strings attached. God forgave you everything in Christ. By his blood, through his cross, you then give freely also to others as I first did to you. Are you going to do that? I can go for another couple hours if you're not convinced yet. No? Okay, well, if you're convinced, then let's do it. Free others as God first in Christ forgave you. In your marriages, every night, don't go to bed angry. In your parents and children and families and friendships, be healed, God says, be free. And we're going to keep forgiving until that day when we don't even need to forgive anymore. Because we are, friends, bound to a country. We are destined for a kingdom where one day we're all going to be made perfect. We'll never hurt each other again. And there, in that kingdom, we're going to see him, the king, face to face in each other in love, and that forevermore. Until that day, freely forgive as you have freely been forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, "Do You Forgive Those Who Hurt You?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry at Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
Cries will be heard, the trees of the forest are